church. We'll be in 2 Kings, we'll be in the Old Testament, but we find ourselves getting further and further away from God, and we find ourselves slowly getting away from what was originally intended. And there's a theme that you see in American churches now as we're trying to modernize the gospel, trying to say, well, that was the gospel way back when. That was, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago, and it's not relevant now. We have to update it. And what we have to remember, the gospel has never been modernized. The gospel has never conformed to what the world was or is, and it never will. And so we have to get out of this mindset that we're going to modernize the gospel, or we're going to come and make it more palatable and more approachable. The gospel is what it is. The gospel stands where it stands. The standards and the statutes are where they are, and they do not change. And we have to remember that. So that's what we'll be looking at today. We'll be in 2 Kings in the 23rd chapter. And if you've ever read Kings, if you've ever read Chronicles, it is literally the history of the leadership of Israel. And it goes through in chronological order, and it talks about the different kings of Israel and what they did and what they didn't do. And over we see that so-and-so was the king and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So-and-so was the king and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we see that on repeat over and over and over. And if you read through those scriptures, you'll see that phrase continually. But we're going to look at one of the kings that did holy in the sight of the Lord, and that was King Josiah. So in the first verse of the 23rd chapter, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up in the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. So Israel had gotten off track. They had gotten off pace. They were not where they needed to be spiritually. They were not following the statutes and the guidelines that God had set in place. And Josiah, who is the king, when he comes into power, one of the first things that he does is he gathers everyone together and they get into the word of God. Now, then what they had was the Torah or the Pentateuch, and it was the first five books of the Bible. That's what they had. And he began to read to them out of the book. And that is where we find where we're supposed to be is in the book, it's in the Bible. And we've gotten away as a church and as individual people, we've gotten away from what God has said because we don't know the word of God. And the words of God, the inspired word of God, is the Holy Bible. Now we have to start off, we have to make sure that we have a Bible that is an accurate interpretation. And that is difficult because there is a lot of things out there and they are completely way off base left and right. And if you haven't been following our Wednesday night Bible study that's a deep dive into how to study the Word of God, that is an excellent resource and tool to learn what Bibles are actually being translated correctly. So that's the first step. You got to make sure you've got a good Bible that's an accurate translation. But then you have to open that thing and you have to read it. And sometimes it's difficult because, especially in the Old Testament, there's these and thous and it's worded funny. And even now, there's times I read something and I go, I have no clue what I just read. Is it anybody else? Just me? Okay, it's just me then. That's fine. There's times I read it and I go, I don't know what I just read. That's okay. Continue to read and continue to seek, because what will happen is God will continue to open those scriptures up. God will continue to peel back and begin to get away from our vision and begin to give you a vision through the Holy Spirit and begin to open those scriptures up to you. And even a scripture, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Even that scripture, there's layers to it. And as you begin to read and as you begin to pray and as you begin to get closer to God, God will continue to pull things back. You'll never stop learning about what's in his word and the depth of it. But we've got to get in and we've got to know the word. And that's what Josiah knew. And so Josiah started with the people. He brought everyone together and they begin to read the word of God and to know what it says. You can't follow the will of God if you don't know the word of God. You've got to know what it says. So in the third verse, the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. So we're going to take a minute here, and let's look at this third verse and everything that he's talking about. So they read the scriptures, and then Josiah led the people and said, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We are going to make a covenant that we do this with God. So when you make a covenant, that's a treaty, that's an alliance, that's a promise. That is something that you're saying, I'm going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you shake on it, and then this is what we're going to do. And the covenant was to walk after the Lord, which is to follow. That means to follow what? His commandments and his testimonies. So the commandments at that time, that was the old covenant law, to keep the law. To keep the law, to follow his testimonies, to see the witnesses that we had laid before us. His statutes are also his ordinances with all of their heart and soul. If you put all of your heart and soul into something, that's a different type of effort. If you've ever seen someone run, and you know you've seen someone and they're running hard, but if you see someone that's truly putting all of their effort, it looks different. And saints, sometimes we are not putting all of our effort into walking after Christ. And I say we because I'm talking to me just as well. I'll go ahead and tell you that as I was preparing this sermon and God was laying it out, it hurt my feelings several times. So I'm sure it's probably going to step on your toes because it's already stepped on mine. But that's okay. That's part of growing and learning, right? Because we say it in love, not because of chastisement or you better or you oughta, but because that's how we grow. Is we have to hear hard things sometimes. And the hard truth is we don't put our heart and our soul and our mind into walking with God the way that we should. We don't do that because we have things that deter us, things that distract us, things that pull us away from God. And sometimes it's sin. But sometimes it's other things that we allow to creep in and to take a more of importance than what the word of God is and what the following of God is. And that's what had happened with the people of Israel. That's what had happened. They had allowed other things to creep in and to pull their focus away from God. And we see this in the fourth verse. It says, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, for the grove, and for the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. So I want you to catch what was in the church. In the church. There was Baal worship, which was idol worship, was in the church. They had allowed these things not only to creep into their hearts and minds, but they had allowed it to creep into their sanctuary. They had allowed things to come into the holies of holies that were not of God, that were not representative of what God was. Literally another idol, another God, they had allowed them to come in there. And so he began to take those things out. And saints, we have to do that this morning. We have to look deep down inside and see what idols have we allowed to be in our hearts? What things have we allowed to come into our minds that are pulling us away from God? And I say it again, it's not always a sin. You know, for them it was the false god Baal. For us, all right, pull your toes in so I don't step on them. For us, sometimes it's sports, it's entertainment. You know, the Super Bowl was a couple weeks ago. I watched it. I don't think it's a sin to watch the Super Bowl. But you've got to make sure that you're not allowing sports and entertainment to pull you away from God. Are you with me? And you can insert whatever there. It doesn't have to be the Super Bowl. But you see churches that they've allowed the Super Bowl to come into the sanctuary, to the holies of holies, to be a part of the processional. I don't know if any of you saw the video. There's a video and they've got sports jerseys on and they're kicking a Bible and doing all. That's not the word of God. That's trying to entice the world to come into the church. And while we want sinners, this is where sinners need to be. We want you to come to the church. We are not bringing the world in the church. You with me on that? And that's what's begun to happen. That's what had begun to happen to Israel of old, and that's what's happening today. And when we make up the body of the church, it's not just this building. And when you come into this, the Holy of Holies, we have to make sure that we're bringing the right spirit. We have to make sure that we're bringing the right priorities. Because if not, we begin to lose our focus. We begin to get pulled away from what's truly important, which is following God's word. This had been prophesied back in 1 Kings chapter 13. You don't have to turn there, but it literally names Josiah by name. And it was prophesied, I believe it was some 300 years before, it had been prophesied that Josiah would come in and that he would pull, that these things would happen. And we'll see that more as we go through there. We have to understand that anything that gets in the way of us and God can become an idol. And it doesn't, it's not always a sin. You know, we think of the big ones. We think of drugs, we think of alcohol, we think of pornography, we think of all these things. And those things are definitely things that can pull you away from God. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we allow to come in and pull our focus away from God, to pull us away from the importance of church. There's nothing special about this building, but there's something special about coming in and being here and being in corporate worship. There's something about being here and being focused on what you're doing. And too many times we allow things to come in and snatch our attention. We allow our phones, and these can be absolutely wonderful, but we allow our phones sometimes to come in and they become an idol to us. We've got to make sure that we're getting back to what God has showed us. And in the fifth verse, it says, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. So what the previous kings had done is they had set up high places. And you'll see even some of the kings that were godly kings, they allowed these high places. And what the high places were, it was outside. So all of the worship was to happen in Jerusalem. It was supposed to happen in the temple. But what the kings had said was, well, that's a little inconvenient to travel all that way. So we're going to set up these high places. And they were places and they were like little mini churches. And it started off as, oh, okay, well, you don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem. You can just do your worship right there. But then little by little, because that's not the design of God, what ended up happening was there was Baal worship there. It was like, well, okay, yeah, we'll put a Baal idol up there too. And you can pray to God or you can pray to Baal. And little by little things seeped in, and these high places always stayed. Because you'll read in there in the Kings, and it'll say, and they turned the congregation back to God, but they left the high places. Saints, I'm asking you to look and see, what are the high places that you've got in your lives right now? What are the things that you've allowed to stay that it's, again, I go back to, it's not a sin, but it's causing you to sin. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you and will show those things. Pastor Lincoln preached in the 9:00, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes we frustrate the Holy Spirit and we put him in prison where we can't hear from him because we don't want to, because it's a still small voice. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. You know, when people start talking of speaking in tongues and stuff, and they say, well, I don't want to. Nothing's going to happen that you don't want to happen. But when we squelch the Holy Spirit and we go, I hear you, God, but I'm going to step away. And the further we get away, the smaller that voice gets and the quieter that gets. The stronger, the closer we get to God, the stronger that voice begins to come. And Pastor said it pretty well this morning. The Holy Spirit doesn't ever tell you, hey, good job, you're doing great. The Holy Spirit is going to come in and he's going to correct you and guide you. Uh-uh, don't go that way. Don't say that. Don't do that. Get away from that. But we have to listen. We have to be obedient. And if we have those high places in our lives, it's going to distract and it's going to pull away and it's going to deter you from where you're trying to get, which is closer to God. And so he goes in and he tears down the high places. He talks in here about the sun, them worshiping the sun, the moon, the planets, and heaven. And I don't have time to get into it this morning, but astrology, stay away from all that. Familiar spirits, psychics, don't mess with that stuff. That's not of God, and that's not something. I'm just, for time's sake, I'm just going to keep it short and clean. That's not something a Christian should be involved in any form or fashion. We've got to understand, stay away from those things. Those are things that will pull you away from God. In the sixth verse, and he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord with Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Now, this is a little graphic, but it's in the Bible, and we need to understand. So what was in the church? So this grove, what this was, it was a replica of the male reproductive organ. That was in the church. They had gone so far away from God that they had actually had these images all in the church. That's how far they had gotten away from God. And you say, well, there's no way. There's no way that would happen here. We would come in and have something vulgar like that on the walls. Yet, if you're not careful and you don't keep focused on the Word of God, that is exactly what is happening. That is exactly what is happening with our churches, because our churches are trying to get so close to what the world is doing. Saints, we are not of the world. We're in the world. We have to interact. We have to interact with the world, and we should interact with the world, because we should be taking the gospel to sinners. But we want to get so close and try to look as much as we can like the world. That is not what the scripture says. The scripture says that we're called to be different. The scripture says that you're going to stand out. That's what it says. And we have to understand that, saints, that we've got to stop trying to get so close to the world to get people in here. We've just got to speak the truth. There is a hunger and a need and a desire for the true Word of God, because you can't find it out there. Go look. Go look and listen and hear what's being preached. It's not the Word of God. It's a scripture or two, and then sprinkled in, you know, a few of the words and sounds and all that, and then it's nonsense after that. And there's nothing of substance. And saints, it's behooving to us that we have to understand what the Word is. It is your responsibility, each and every individual person, to know what the Word of God says. And you can't know it if you don't open the Word. You can't know it if you don't take time and read. You can't have a relationship with God if you don't spend time with God. No, there's no relationship in the world that works that way, that you just leave them on the shelf and then pick up the phone. Now, there's some people that'll do you that way. The only time they'll call you, or the only time they'll text you, or they'll contact you when they need something. But that's not a relationship. We've got to have a relationship with God. I hope I'm not beating you up this morning. I'm saying this with love, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I am any of us, is that we have got to get closer to God. And we've got to be intentional about it. Josiah didn't just read the Word and stopped there. He took action. He read the Word and he taught the people, and he said, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Now we're going to do it. Now we're going to go in and we're going to take out those things that shouldn't be there. We're going to take out those things that are a distraction or an idol. And we have to do that. We have to take spiritual inventory. God, what is in my life? And sometimes you can't even see it. That's where it comes that we have to let the Holy Spirit speak to us. That's where it comes that we have to let the Holy Spirit come in and speak to our hearts. You know, I've told the story before. I loved basketball. I had a passion for it. And it was what I did for a living. I coached for years, and it completely consumed me. It was everything that I did. And to the point that not only was God not first, my family, my friends, nothing got in the way of me coaching. And I couldn't even see it. I didn't even recognize it myself. And God began dealing with me and began dealing with me. And I finally got to a point. I said, God, if this is a problem, if this is an issue, take it out of my life. Take it out of my life. And it took me forever to get to the point where I could have that prayer, because I was bound by it. And you said, bound by coaching basketball? That's not a sin. It's not a sin. But I was so bound, and I was so, it had a hold of me, and I couldn't let go. And the moment that I prayed that prayer, God sent me on a journey and on a path, and basketball's not even a part of my life anymore. I can take it or leave it. I still enjoy it, but I can go months and not watch it, not think about it, not talk about it. And it was used to be an everyday thing. And what God began to show me was how I had priorities misaligned. You know, God will speak to you. I remember one night, it was a Wednesday night. I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling sick. I wasn't running a fever, nothing like that. I wasn't feeling good. I said, I'm going to stay home and rest. And let me preface this by saying, if you stay home and you're sick, I know those of us that have grown up in the church, it's kind of like you get up and you go to church, right? If you're sick and you stay home, I'm not beating you up because of that. I'm using this as a point. So I didn't go. And God spoke to me and he said, if you had a game tonight, would you have went to that game? I would have. And this is ridiculous, and I never should have done it, but I actually coached a game that I was sick and throwing up. I had a trash can sitting beside me. I would get up and I would coach. I would walk over and throw up, wipe my mouth, rinse my mouth out, and keep coaching. Now, that's stupid. I shouldn't have done that. My wife told me I shouldn't have done that, and if I was smart, I would have listened to her. She's in children's church, so don't tell her that I said she was right. I don't need her to know that. But the point is, I was so dedicated that even though I'm physically throwing up, I'm still coaching basketball, yet I didn't feel real great and I didn't go to Wednesday night service. You see how that's out of balance and out of whack? Again, if you're sick and you stay home, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're sick, you don't feel good, and especially if you're contagious, that's probably the best place to be is at home. But do you see how the priorities were out of whack and how you're bound by that? That's what happens when we don't keep our focus on God. And that's what had happened in the church of Israel, is they literally had these vulgar things up on the wall, and they had somehow tied that to praising God and to the religion that they were following. And that's what happens, is when we allow things to come into our lives, when we entertain things, when we watch things, when we're listening to things, what are you putting into your heart? What are you putting into your spirit? You know, we talk about listening to secular music. And I would challenge you this. If you listen to secular music, here's what I would say. Take some of the songs you listen to. Take 10 of the songs you listen to and go look up the lyrics. And go look and see either what they're singing about or what they're actually, the innuendo is. And 9 times out of 10, it is something a Christian should not be singing or thinking about. And I used to sing some of them songs with my whole chest driving down the road, and I'm singing about, you know, cocaine and rock and roll and drinking whiskey. I ain't ever done none of those things, but I was singing with my whole chest about it. That's a distraction. That's pulling you away from God. And I promise you, the little bit of entertainment that you get with that, it's nothing compared to when you get a step closer to God and what he begins to open up. And you know, it's not in us. We have to understand that, you know, getting away from these things and cleaning these things up, because sometimes I know sometimes you're just like, oh man, I have all these things and I need to fix them. It's not you that's got to fix them. You just have to turn them over to God, but you have to willingly give them to God and say, God, I give this to you. And then you have to actively pursue him. God, here I am again. I'm giving it to you again. And allow him to come in. And when you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it'll be the strangest thing. You'll be watching something on TV, has nothing to do with what you're dealing with, but you'll feel the Holy Spirit say, don't watch that. Turn it off. Can you do that? That's tough. But if you'll listen and you'll allow God, God will guide you. God will take you away from things that you may go, that has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with a sin or anything. But if it's pulling you away from God, then it's a distraction. It's an idol. It's a high place, and we've got to clean it up. So Josiah has gone in, and he's cleaned up the church. And he goes on in the 7th verse. He breaks down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought the priests of the cities of Judah, and he defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were entering in the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left of the gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high place came not into the altar of the Lord of Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread. So, all sin, regardless of what society says, is sin. And we have to recognize it as so. regardless of what the sin is, regardless of how accepting that the country has become of a sin, it's still a sin. And he goes so far, he goes back to the high places. So he defiled the high places. And basically what he did, so in the Jewish culture, if there was any kind of dead body, any kind of something that was dead on an area, it was defiled, it was unclean, and you couldn't be in that area. So he took and ground up bones of dead men and women and sprinkled it over the high places. He contaminated it so that not only did he pull it up from the roots, but he put it where they couldn't get back there. And that's the kind of dedication we have to have. We have to, when we turn away from something, we got to turn away from it and it's contaminated and I can't go back to it. We have to have in our minds, and we have to, through the help of the Holy Spirit and God, I'm not going back to that. I've uprooted that out of my life. I've cleansed that out of my life. Now God, keep me from it. God, lead me and guide me. Keep me away from the high places. And the 10th through the 20th verse, he goes on in the 10th verse, it says, he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. So we've now mentioned three false gods that were woven into the church. Three false gods that were woven in. And saints, I'm telling you, the same thing is happening in churches today. And the same thing is happening with individuals today, because we're allowing what the culture says, we're allowing what the world says is acceptable. And the world changes every day. 10 years ago, what was acceptable is not acceptable now. And in 10 years from now, it'll change again. The Word of God does not change. The Word of God is the same standard that it was when it began, and it will ever for be that same way. And so this Molech, this false idol Molech, it was the god of child sacrifice. And what they had was this statue, and it had two arms like this. And they would take a small baby, and they would heat those arms up till they were red hot, and they would put the small baby into those arms and burn it alive. Then they would take the priests of Molech, they would wear these black robes, and they had these drums, and they beat these drums to drown out the screaming of the infants. We're doing the same thing in America today, because we're having abortions at an alarming rate, and the drums that we're beating out is the It's my body, it's my choice. And I know that's hard to hear. And you know, everybody wants to talk about, well, this one off, well, that one off. It's not right, folks. That's the truth. And we can debate and we can argue, but I promise you, if you get into the Word of God and you get into what the Word of God says, God will lead you and guide you. And I know that's a controversial thing to stand up here and say. And if it hurts your feelings, that is not my intent. My intent is to tell you what God tells you, because we have to understand what our society is doing today. We have to understand what is going on in our society. And they try to change this and say, well, this is a right that you have. There's no right to murder the innocent. And we cringe when we read this and we say, oh my gosh, they just burnt this baby to death. We cringe at that. But then we hedge when someone says, well, it's my body, it's my choice. We go, well, what does the Word, not what the culture says, not what the climate says, not what the political world says, not what the Republicans say, not what the Democrats say, what does the Word of God tell us? What is in His Word? That's what we have to follow. So in the next few verses, for time, they had horses and chariots that were designated to these different idols and these different gods. He took away the horses, he burned the chariots and their altars and their high places. He destroys the groves. Again, he covers them with the bones of the men, so again, defiling them. The spiritual reform is taking out anything that takes us away from God. Spiritual reform is looking in your hearts and your minds and your soul and saying, is this taking me closer to God or further away from God? And that's a hard conversation. And I'm not here up here preaching that I got it all figured out and boy, I'm running away from everything that takes me away from God. I struggle with it the same as you. Pastor said this morning, we all have secret sins. We all do. We all have things that we're struggling with, every single person. So first, know that everybody's struggling. And second, understand that the answer is with God. The closer we get to God, the more he'll pull us away from those things. So we'll pick up in the 21st verse. It says, "And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not such hold in such a Passover from the days of judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem." So the Passover, that was one of the feasts that they had to keep in the Old Testament. And that's where they ate the bread that had no leaven. They had it harkened back to Israel when they were getting ready to leave. They were getting ready to leave Egypt. So there's all this symbolism, and I don't have time to get into all the symbolism today, but basically it was them getting ready and looking forward to Christ coming and dying on the cross. That's what it pointed towards, was salvation. And they had neglected it. They had had all these other things that had come into the church and all these things that they had added, and they had gotten away from what was truly important, which was the Redeemer was coming. All of these things that they did, all of these things in the law, it all pointed towards Christ. And you can look from the very first word in Genesis till Christ arrives on the scene, everything is pointing towards him. And this Passover, this important process that God had put in place, they had neglected it. And it had fallen out. And it wasn't that they needed to, we've got to modernize and we've got to update. No, it was just they had left it and fallen aside. And saints, that's what we're doing. Sometimes we're allowing things that are important to slide down the list of importance. Reading your Bible doesn't save you. Praying doesn't save you. But those are two of the most important things that God has given us that he can communicate with us. Getting down and spending time and just talking to our Heavenly Father and allowing him to speak to your soul. I said it when I first came out here, you know, the Lord moved. We had a tongues and interpretation. The Holy Spirit is here and moving. That's where we got it. That's where we want to be. And you can come to church and experience that. You can experience that in your own home. God will come right there in the room with you and be face to face with you and touch your heart and touch your mind. It's got to be an importance. You've got to set that time aside and say, this is my time with God. This is my time to read. This is my time to pray. And that's, again, that doesn't save you, but that's your relationship with God. That's how God speaks to you. You'll read a verse, and man, God will just open it up and just speak to you, whatever you're going through and dealing with right then. Begin to pray and seek and share time with God and watch him do works in your life. And not only for you, but for your family. Because when you start taking time and you start acting right, God will start branching out and touching the rest of your family. You begin to see people saved because they'll see a difference in you. You begin to see people go, what has she got? I need some of that. The gospel, we overcomplicate the gospel. The gospel is very simple. But we overcomplicate it and we bring all these other things in that are unnecessary and nonsense. And we have to get back to the heart of the Word of God. I'm going to finish with this. He goes on and he continues to clean up the church. They had people that were working with familiar spirits or basically witchcraft. He pulls them out of the church. He begins to put the things back into place. In the 25th verse, in the 26th verse, and we'll finish up with this, and it says, "And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his might. According to all the laws of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." The 26th verse, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah because all of the provocation that Manasseh had provoked him with. And I want you to catch this because this is important. Because sometimes we think there's we have an umbrella insurance and it's individually us. Josiah was a mighty man of God. It says there was never a king before him or after him that sought after God like he did. Yet God's wrath still came on Judah. Why? Because the people didn't turn their hearts. You know, we're not saved under the umbrella of Christ Unveiled. We're not saved under the umbrella of Pastor Lincoln or Pastor Taylor. We're saved. Each individualist has a responsibility for this. And so while Josiah did all of these things and he cleaned out the church and he brought it back to what it was supposed to be, there was still a wrath against the people because the people would not repent. And the moment Josiah was, his time as king was over, the moment the people went right back to what they were doing. And so I hope I haven't beat you up too much this morning. That's not been my intent. My intent has to tell you with love the truth. I hope that you've heard that. If I have stepped on your toes, the good thing to know is that God can help you right where you're at. And if you're struggling today and if you're saying, God, I want everything that you've been talking about, God, I want that. Reach out. Reach out. God, I need you. God, I'm struggling. He already knows. He knows everything you're dealing with, everything you're going through, every sin you've sinned, he knows it. You don't have to lie to God. You can open up your heart and open up your mind and say, God, help me. And he will answer. His arm is not short. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's already bankrupted heaven to give you what you need. He sent his son, his only begotten son, to die on a rugged cross for your sins. And this message is not to the sinner. This is to the saint that's sitting in the church. And if you're sitting here in the church today, if you're listening online and you're struggling, know that God knows and he cares and he loves us. His standard does not change, but he'll reach his arm out and he'll pull you to him. Amen. Let me pray with you. Stand with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come into your presence today. We thank you, Lord, that your word was spoken. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Father, as we have our silent struggle, our secret sin. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Strengthen us. Give us the strength, Lord. Give us the want and the desire to read your word, to be in fellowship with you, to be in prayer with you, Father. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, Lord. We know that you are the answer. We ask these things according to your will in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Father God, just help us to remember that we are here on this earth. And we're here in the world, but we're not of the world, God. Remind us that when our eyes get big for things that we want here on this earth, we should be having our eyes big for the things that you want for us, God, and not what we want. You said that if we draw nigh to you, that you will draw nigh to us. And that's what we should be seeking after, God. I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let me remind you that if you haven't had a chance to give, please do so and help us. As you came in, there was a globe out there with a bunch of red dots. That is one of the things that your giving help us to do, is to reach out, not just to just the United States, but all over. And then we are diving deep into the Word on Wednesday night. Our Bible study is teaching us how to get into the Bible and learn more and study more. So you're more than welcome to come out at 7 o'clock as we do that. And we thank you for coming out. Hope you enjoyed the service. And for those of you who are online, we thank you for coming out as well. You are dismissed.